Yeah.
No.
I party all day.
That is what this jam signifies, huh?
How much I party?
Yeah.
This is reflective.
Yeah. Smart.
Yeah. This is like...
This music ain't for dummies.
I read books all the time.
I wear glasses.
I'm here to enlighten you.
That's for sure.
My enlightening beat.
That's what's up. All right, mommies. Good news and bad news. What do you want first?
Give me the bad news first.
Bad news is your mommy had to move her Arizona date, so I will not be at the Comedy Spot Comedy Club this August 22nd through 24th. I'm going to have to move it. My apologies to everybody. If you have already bought a ticket, I'm so sorry. I promise to come back and we will make it up to you. We'll do the podcast there eventually, won't we?
Yeah, yeah. And the club will, you know, clubs always make good. If you don't want to go to the show, they'll reimburse you or switch out your ticket for the next show.
I'm sorry, guys. It was a last minute thing that came up. I would never deliberately hurt my mommies. After that, September 4th through 7th, Cap City Comedy Club in Austin, Tejas. September 12th through 14th, the Underground Comedy Club in Toronto, Canada, my birth country.
Toronto.
And then September 27th, Columbus, Ohio with my boo-boo jeans.
Toronto.
September 30th, my boo-boo jeans and I will be doing Zanies in Nashville.
Yeah, and then they got links to two more went up.
October 2nd, Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah.
And then what's the other one?
Birmingham.
Oh, bam.
Birmingham, Alabama. We're coming to do you too. And there's a third or another, whatever, fourth city that we don't have the link for yet. But there's one more city.
Wow.
In the great Southeast. But yeah, you can get the tickets for Charlotte or Birmingham now. They are up.
Nice.
So yeah, that week will be in Columbus, then Nashville, then...
Charlotte.
No, I think Birmingham's before that.
Birmingham, Alabama, and then Charlotte.
And then Charlotte.
North Carolina.
Yeah.
So if you guys want tickets, go to ChristinaComedy.com, go to TomSegura.com, go to YourMom'sHousePodcast.com, follow us on Twitter. I'm at Christina P, and T-Nuts is at Tom Segura.
That's what's up. Here's what I'm doing. I'll be at Helium in Philadelphia, 29th through the 31st of August. McGuire's in Long Island, New York. Strong Island. Come get at me, September 5th through 7th. Fort Lauderdale Improv, September 12th through 14th. And then those clubs with Tina, Columbus, Nashville, Birmingham, Charlotte. Yeah, so that's what's happening. As they say in the biz.
That was a hearty burp. What was in that one?
That had some feces.
Little fishes in there?
Yeah. Yep. Huh. I love you, Tiny Jeans.
Oh, me or the dog?
You.
Oh, I love you too.
Yeah. We have big dog news.
Big dog? Oh, poor Theo Jeans. Our little sweetest dog is laying here at my feet in his little cushion pad. He's looking at me with a sad Elizabethan collar. He had his testes removed today.
He got neutered today. He's got cone. He looks so just kissy furry. Like, and he,
so
sometimes
sad.
He does a very silent cry. Like,
yeah, whimper. And he doesn't want to be away from you for a minute. Not a moment.
Poor little guy.
Yeah.
This is when I really wish I could talk to him and he could talk back to me.
I know.
Fuck.
Poor guy. Well, it had to be done.
We had to do it.
We had to improve his quality of life. Now he can go play with other dogs in the dog park and meet other little Brussels. And
it's
a stigma, man, when your dog has balls.
I know. And the dog owners are so judgy.
Yeah, especially here in our neighborhood, everybody's like, they look at you like your dog has polio. Like, you didn't prevent that from happening?
Yeah.
How dare you not neuter your dog? Okay.
I know.
Relax. I know it's irresponsible. It wasn't our fault.
No.
But they think you're the most irresponsible dog mom on the fucking planet.
Well, fart in their mouth. I really do. I got a couple of hot farts for your mouth if you judge me and my wife as
how
dog owners.
Hot and stinky.
Real hot. Beef one. Beef one.
You know what I want to thank you for? I didn't get around to it.
What?
I just want to say thank you, especially in these summer months.
Yeah.
Every time you've been farting in bed, it's right up against a fan source. So the fan blows the fart right in my face. It's a really neat thing you do.
I try to make life exciting and try to keep you on your toes. That's what you got to do in a marriage.
Also, I want a quick thanks to Tom for using my bathrobe as a towel last week. I didn't get to thank you for that.
We have never in our lives run out of towels or forks because we have 70 of each.
That's so true.
And I came home.
That's true.
I had just done cross farts, and I had to be somewhere. And I was like, I got to go quickly. And I looked, none in the bathroom, none in the towel pantry or whatever that's called. Mm-hmm. I said, babe, I mean, there's no towels. And you're like, well... Wow.
Use paper towels. That's what everybody does.
What did I do? And I said, well, I need something
wait
to
a minute. What voice did I use?
You're like, what do you want me to do? I said, well, I need something to dry off with. Like I got that. I need something. So then I wanted to use your red robe.
The thin
because
one.
It's towel-y. It's towel material. And you're like, not that one. I just got that one tailored to my fitting. And I was like, all right, I can't use your fucking robe.
Wait a minute. I never tailor robes.
But you're like, it's just the way I want it. Do you really have to ruin the robe right now? I mean, could you use my other robe?
Oh, I sound like Napoleon Dynamite. No. Yeah. Tarred face. Yeah. What happened was,
whatever.
I lost the fucking belt to the robe for
the
last
fucking
three. I know.
Tommy, I lost the fucking belt to the robe. The fucking rope belt.
I've been watching Sopranos too much. So
I see that.
The thing is, I lost the fucking belt to the robe. I finally found it. I finally put the robe back together.
And
after 4 months of being
so,
listen, you know what a debacle that. If you've
all
ever,
I would have done is dry with
listen
it.
Listen to me. If you've ever lost the fucking rope to your robe, you know that that is a hindrance to the whole robe process. You can't even wear the robe.
Well, why did you turn me down from using it?
You can't wear it because here's why.
Okay.
I don't live with a human. I live with a bear. Bears disregard your property. So bears, they wipe their ass with your robe that you just put together and then it would disappear again for the next months because who knows where you're going
to
put it.
Well, you seem to find that one. That's the one. You're wearing it right now.
Because you crammed it into the filthy clothes underneath all the jizz towels and whatever else is there. Your dirty shit stained pants.
I don't have shit stained pants.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't.
You are your father's son.
All right. Let me tell you this. Little... What's that?
That was my voice. Do my voice doing Napoleon Dynamite.
You're like, could you please not use my red robe? I just found the belt for it. I was like, all right. And you're like, I mean, in that white one, whatever.
This white one, so I got this at Bed Bath & Beyond.
You're wearing it.
It's like a $30 robe, man.
Is that a lot or a little?
It's a lot for me. Listen, I go to Target usually to buy everything. So... Bed Bath & Beyond, man.
All right, whatever.
It's a high-quality item.
Here we go. Listen up, Dirty Jeans. Today's show is brought to you by Warby Parker. Please visit warbyparker.com for your next pair of eyeglasses. More on that in a little bit.
That's right, Jeans. This episode is also brought to you by stamps.com. You know, a quick trip to the post office, it's hardly ever quick. You got to drive there. You got to find parking. Mm-hmm. It's a hassle. So do what we do. Use stamps.com instead. Stamps.com is the quick and easy way to get postage on demand for any business. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package using your own computer and printer. Stamps.com will even send you a digital scale that calculates the exact postage you need for any class of mail. You don't need one of those expensive postage meters, and you'll never waste valuable time making trips to the post office again. We use stamps.com to send merch.
Definitely. It's the best. And it led to us buying an exciting new printer.
We did.
We use stamps.com so much that the main thing for us is you got to have a printer that can print a lot for all of our stamps that we print at home, which is basically you feel like you're a spy or some KGB agent
doing secret things.
Because
your
printing, you're printing, you're like, how can I print something that I can just throw in this package and then it goes and it works?
I know.
Like it counts.
I know.
It's not like I order it and then somebody else, like you do it yourself. You put it on the package, drop it in the mail. It's good to go.
You know what it is? Power.
It is.
It's powerful.
You get stamps.com, you're Jason Bourne.
No kidding, man. So right now, use our promo code MOM for this special offer. It's a no-risk trial plus $110 bonus offer. Mm. It includes the digital scale and up to $55 of free postage. So don't wait. Go to stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in MOM. That's stamps.com. Enter M-O-M.
Woo!
Bam!
Thanks, stamps.com.
Thank you.
There's so much to cover this show. You ready to do this?
Ready.
So much work to do.
I never had a job before in my life until I started working for Shiv. You know, in and out of jail. You know what I'm saying? Did a little bit of everything. You know what I'm saying? Now I'm... You know what I'm saying?
This shit is big time!
Who is Randy?
Don't bring anyone mother to this.
Your mom in the fucking stand!
Welcome. Welcome to your mom's house. With Tom Segura.
And Christina Pajitsky.
Welcome to your mom's house.
Feels so good to have volume control again.
All right.
Oh, my God.
Remember we played that theme in Houston?
Oh, no, in Dallas.
Oh, the Dallas, yeah.
Dallas almost broke the speaker system.
Yeah. Everybody shit their pants at the same
God.
Time. A communal dump.
Hey,
that's the best, you know what I'm saying, ever in the history of ever.
I love you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying?
Can we play that again?
There's just never enough you know what I'm saying in my life. But that is a spectacular one.
We're not sure. Buddy, we're not sure what he's saying.
Definitely, that's the best part of that.
You know what I'm saying?
This is from the documentary "Welcome to Death Row." It was sent to us by a listener. Do you know who it is?
I'm sorry, I forgot. Dear listener, apologies, but thank you. It was tweeted to us, I believe.
You know who you are.
So funny.
So funny.
I ain't never had a job before in my life until I started working That's for Shiv. You know, in and out of jail. You know what I'm saying? Did a little bit of everything. You know what I'm saying? Now I'm... You know what I'm saying?
He didn't even have to say anything.
He said, man, I'm... You know what I'm saying?
Until he started working for
now,
shit.
You know what I'm saying?
Until he started working for shit?
Suge.
Oh, Suge Knight.
Yeah. I never had a job in my life. You know what I'm saying? I've been in that jail. You know what I'm saying? Man, I'm... You know what I'm saying?
Man, I'm... You know what I'm saying?
Whoever is shooting that interview him definitely has no idea what he's saying.
No.
You know, that's the part where he was like, mm-mm.
Some white guy who was interested in Death Row Records.
Yeah, I was like, so tell me about you. No, I had a job in my life. You know what I'm saying? I'm following you. And then, you know, I've been out of jail. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Uh-huh. Man, I'm... You know what I'm saying? No.
This reminds
no, I don't
me
know what you're saying.
Of the time Anderson Cooper interviewed Charles Ramsey.
Oh, yeah.
It was my absolute favorite white guy moment because Anderson had no fucking idea what to do with that interview. Like, he shook hands with him and Charles did the whole, what it is, man, bah, 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 like
yeah,
that
like
kind of handshake and shit.
Like, yeah. Rip it,
yeah.
Swing it around.
Anderson was like, I don't know what to do with this. Yeah. I'm sorry. Do we
like
fist pump?
McDonald's, man.
Yeah. He's like, what? Man, I'm afraid of your blackness. Your blackness
big
scares me.
Ass breakfast.
Damn, I'm having a big ass fucking breakfast.
Anyways, thank you guys. I guess we should bring up Texas and how
Texas.
Fucking amazing Texas was.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Houston and Dallas. And people who came from everywhere, including
Oklahoma.
A lot of Oklahomans, Okies?
Choconomans.
Choconomans. Tulsa was in the house big time. But fuck, it was crazy.
Bananas.
And, you know, I kept telling people at the end when we were meeting people, like, thanks for coming and, you know, all the usuals, but like, you know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying?
Like, is this when, was this what you expected? Because we also didn't know what to expect. Well, we realized that we haven't done a bunch of live podcasts, mm-mm, but the energy was so live and crazy. And it was a party, man.
Yeah.
That was so much fucking fun. I cannot wait to do the podcast live again.
And we both drank in the first one in Houston.
In Houston, yeah.
We were just kind of tired. We woke up super early that day.
Yeah.
We had road dumps and we got a little tipsy.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what I was talking
about. My favorite is that both shows had people at them who had never heard of us, never heard of the show. And they're watching this thing like, what is fucking happening here?
Why do these people care about shit so much?
I care about shit. Who are they filling up? What?
Get the fart thing. They're
sealing somebody shut.
I watched a guy in Dallas. I think you asked them, you're like, who here has no idea who we are?
Yeah.
And these two guys in the middle front,
mm-hmm,
raised their hands, and I watched their faces the first half of the show. It was like Theo looking at you like, mm-hmm, huh? What?
Uh-huh. What? Yeah.
And then eventually they started laughing like towards the latter half. They
really
kind of got into the juvenile groove.
Yeah, yeah.
It was great.
That's cool.
Yeah, super fun, man.
Yeah, that shit was so much fun.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I mean, I'm like,
man, I'm, you know what I'm saying?
that is the best, you know what I'm saying, ever. But goddamn, thanks. You know, you guys really helped us figure out how to do a live show because, you know, we've both been a part of live podcasts and been to them. Sometimes it's just to watch the person or the people talk, but I feel like our crowd's a little more alive than that. They're not like, oh, have a nice conversation.
Well, we don't have nice conversations.
Right.
Yeah.
So they're ridiculous. You know, it's like, it's a little more amped up.
Yeah. It's not like going to watch NPR live.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we're not talking about smart shit. We're talking about what we talk about.
Right. Right.
Which is trucker dumps and farts and
a lot of truckers, too.
Hey, what about that?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of drivers.
Yep, I like that.
I like that too.
I like being in trucker ears.
Yeah, dude, because they got time. That's what they're saying.
Guys on the road, baby.
They're like, we got plenty of time. I had questions for truckers. I'm so mad I didn't get to ask, but I want to know from the truckers, what's the craziest stuff you've seen as you're driving on the road? Share with us your crazy trucker stories. Are there such things as lot lizards? I want to hear about it. Are there such things as glory holes in the road that you guys stop at? I want to hear about it. I want to hear about the shit that you see people doing in their cars when you look down on them, because I see you truckers looking down on us in our little cars. Email us yourmomspodcast@gmail.com. That's yourmomspodcast@gmail.com. I want to hear your crazy trucker stories, and then we'll read them on the air. Because I have a feeling there's a whole world of truck drivers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Man, you know what I'm saying?
There's a whole bunch of shit we don't even know about. It's a whole other belly of society.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There should be a fucking reality show for truckers, besides ice road truckers, which is just, you know, the ice.
I feel like you're kind of, without even really trying to, you're kind of getting into one of these things. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Real talk. Oh, yeah.
Real talk.
Oh, yeah.
Real talk.
Oh, yeah.
Real talk.
Oh.
R. Kelly says, you know what I'm saying, a lot.
He definitely, you know what I'm saying, says real talk. You know what I'm saying?
Didn't he talk about
R. Kelly?
Didn't R. Kelly refer to himself as R. Kelly in an interview?
R. Kelly in an interview, I gotta find it. He was like, I mean, I realized that, like, I am surpassing the R. Kelly of this generation.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right?
Like, there is a standard which is R. Kelly.
Uh-huh.
And I, as R. Kelly, am surpassing him right now.
I R. Kelly'd R.
Yeah.
Kelly.
I went ahead, I leapfrogged R. Kelly as R. Kelly. And you can't really do that. And you watch this, you're like, holy shit. Like, when you become super, super international famous and people are like, you're the most gifted, like, that really melts your brain. Something happens to you. You cannot stay sane. You
can't. Bananas.
If they're like, you're the greatest, you can't stay sane.
No. No
I mean,
way.
You see people on his level. Like, R. Kelly level is like Mariah Carey, fucking bananas.
Yeah, she's out of her fucking mind.
Sure, or like actors that are, you know, constantly rewarded, awarded.
Oh, yeah.
You
know. Yeah. It's been, well,
Sean
even like
Penn
Elvis, Elvis
like,
Presley.
Crazy.
Elvis is the first of the mega, like one of the biggest stars, right?
For sure.
Isn't he one of the first? I'm
of
sure.
Of course, yes.
Him and that Jerry Lee Lewis, and both of them were so fucking out of their minds. They were both banging 13-year-olds
yeah.
and 15-year-olds.
And people kind of okayed it.
No, no, no. People okayed it.
Yeah.
Jerry Lee Lewis was banging his cousin, married her, and everybody's like, that's all right. They're married.
He's really can sing. That's what they said. You got to hear this guy sing. It's not really a fucking problem if you hear this guy sing the goddamn song.
And this other guy can sway his hips and shit, so, you know.
I mean, yeah.
Come on.
She's 15, but this guy can really dance.
Come on, big
and
deal.
He could do some dancing.
Do some singing, some dancing. Big deal.
So crazy. But you mentioned Ice Road Truckers.
Yes.
And what is the show? We were just talking about some shows.
So we saw that show, Naked and Afraid.
What the fuck is that?
Which sounds like it should be an entirely different show.
It sounds, yeah, it does.
If it were shot in LA.
Yeah. Kind of, your eyes widen because you're like, naked? Let me see this.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, and then like the first minute, you're like, I guess I don't want to watch this.
Well, because they fucking blur the naked out. So why
not
call
only
it naked?
Exactly, but like we're such fucking children here.
Oh yeah, kills
that
me.
We can't handle
kills
a
me.
Butt crack and
or some titties.
Two fucking titties.
Yeah,
two dots on up top.
Two
split down the side. We can't handle that, so they blur it, which is like, well, the name is Naked.
Right.
You can't show us what the show's named after.
Well, and do you know why they blur stuff? That's the pornography laws. It's because it's supposed to be lascivious in nature. It's supposed to incite arousal
right.
and be considered pornographic. But if it's a documentary
yeah.
on just two naked people trying to survive in the wilderness, how is that lascivious
right.
or boner-inducing in any way?
If that show is just on National Geographic... Actually, you know what?
Yeah.
If their skin is dark and they don't speak English, they wouldn't blur it.
It's like
seriously.
A Nat Geo, yeah.
Yeah, and if they speak English, they blur it.
That's
if
true.
They're going, they'd be like, right. you can go ahead and unblur that.
Well, and those,
that's how fucked up we are.
Well, that's true. And because those titties are not desirable titties.
Right. Hangers
soggy,
and droopers.
Yeah.
And they got those those big like double pepperoni nips. Yeah. Let me get extra pepperoni on this pizza.
Remember the first time you saw that when you were a kid?
Yeah.
Did your parents get National Geographic?
Yeah.
We got it, but nobody ever read it. Like, it was one of those things that my mother collected so that we looked at, like, smart people.
Right.
Nobody fucking read it
nah.
in the house.
Well, I think my dad loved that shit.
Really?
He watches History Channel. Before there was History Channel, basically there was
the
National Geographic.
Yeah.
National Geographic and stuff. So, yeah, he loves all that stuff.
But those titties, I remember being a little girl and being like, how does that happen to you?
But for me, it was like, I can't believe we get to see titties.
Right.
Remember, you were
like, right.
Yeah, you're like, look at, she's got her titties are out. She walks around like this every day.
It doesn't make sense.
I want to live there. And then someone would be like, you don't want to live there. That's a very
where is
bad
that?
Place.
Oh, it's, yeah. not, it's not like the Bahamas?
That's where AIDS is in the water. Yeah.
What's that?
Mm.
So, yeah, Naked and Afraid. So the premise is, it's like Survivor.
Yeah.
They drop you off in some awful remote location like the Serengeti for 21 days.
Yeah.
And the goal is to survive for 21 days.
Yeah. You know, the
naked.
Premise, doesn't it like almost upset you, the premise? You're
it's
like,
so
what the fuck
stupid.
Is going on?
Can I tell you why? What really fucking upsets me is that these are not native Africans who are like, I am survival expert. I know how to. No. These are overprivileged.
Do it again.
Yeah, I survive in the Serengeti. I duck, duck, duck. These are overprivileged, bored white people.
Yeah.
Who don't think that civilian life is hard enough.
Right.
These are the assholes that jump out of airplanes, bungee jump. These are
fucking camp.
Yeah.
Right?
These are the assholes that need a bigger challenge than just,
fucking camp.
Right. Making a living.
Yep.
With their lives and having kids and having a life. You know, so they got to go fucking challenge themselves. I absolutely hate these people.
I want to little spice it up. You know what I want to do? I want to see if I can live for a couple weeks with my dick out.
Just to see if I can do it.
In the desert. See if the desert will eat my dick or if I can make it.
I like it. I'm going to challenge myself.
I hated the show. I tried watching an episode. I hated it.
I mean, you know, I don't know. Anyway, I hate it too.
We need to go ahead and start fire around here. And you might want to watch out. Something might crawl up your clam. So.
Well, and the biggest problem with being naked in the wilderness is that your feet need covering. Okay, mm-hmm. You need fucking shoes, you moron.
Yeah, and by the way, shoes are readily available to you,
right?
Because you actually have a job in fucking Atlanta,
in first world America. You fucking piece of shit. Yeah. So he has to make his life harder and go to Africa and be, you know, shoeless. Anyways, the biggest problem, the episode I saw, this guy, his foot was covered in sores, and you can't run around the jungle or whatever with that. And they try to start fires, they try to find food, they try to fish. It's just a fucking nightmare. It's the worst show ever.
Yeah, I think it's a fucking stupid show. Here's what I don't like about the show more than anything, that they get you by saying naked.
Yes.
What is it? Naked and what?
Naked and afraid.
Naked and afraid.
Show me the fear.
You watch it and you go, you know what? You're not showing me that they're naked. I know that they're naked, but you're not showing me their nudity.
Yeah.
And then how afraid are you if you know a camera crew is with you and there's produced, like there's people
you're not
there.
Afraid,
So I don't, I feel like it's false advertising.
Show me the fear boners.
Now, something that wasn't fearful that wasn't false advertising was what I walked in on today. You were on the couch and this was on.
For Hamburger Hill, I've become very numb. I hated the gooks. I wanted to kill as many as I could. For Hamburger Hill, I've become very numb. I hated the gooks. I wanted to kill as many as I could.
Dad?
That's so tough.
Dad, you did TV without telling me?
How much do you love that?
Holy shit.
I tell you, I was watching Inside Vietnam on that Geo channel. And he was talking about Hamburger Hill, where the goddamn gooks destroyed us, frankly.
Right,
they really fucking murdered us. Mm-hmm. Before that, at the Tet Offensive, we fucking killed them. But the point is, we lost on Hamburger Hill.
Uh-huh.
And what I love about that is that this is the last generation that can actually talk how they want to talk, you know?
Yeah.
That's how that guy was. That's what they teach you in war. You're in war, man.
Yeah, of course.
This isn't civilian life.
No. And you have to call... You have a derogatory name for the enemy for a reason, because it's the enemy. You're trying to kill them.
Yeah, but now they don't. I don't know if they do that now.
No, well, they do behind the scenes, but then it was much more open. My father didn't know. I swear to you, he did not know, because I had a pretty extensive conversation, and he had to look up shit online to figure out that gook is not an acceptable term for regular conversation.
Really?
Yes, he had no idea, and I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, it's perfectly acceptable to say that. And I was like, no, it's not. It's not acceptable to say that. And we had a back and forth conversation, and he was like, let me look this up. And he looked it up, and he was like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize this word was like this offensive to people. And I was like, how did you not realize it? He was like, it's just what we said. Like,
right.
We'd be like, there's gooks over there. We gotta get these gooks. And, but you know, it was just
Charlie.
It was completely, but they didn't, they said gooks. They didn't, I mean, Charlie was,
let's be honest.
But he said, you know, and then he pulled up some article where, like, John McCain, who, as you know, was
POW,
said in an interview, like, I'm never gonna stop saying gook.
Yeah. Yeah, why should he? That was his time.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're a prisoner of war, I think you can say whatever you want.
I'd be calling him a lot worse if I was a fucking POW.
Yeah, yeah. So
oh my God.
I don't think he has a lot of nice things to say, but it's pretty great. He had no idea.
That's
but that
so
show
funny.
Was, there was another guy on that show who was like, you know, when you kill a guy.
Yeah.
It's a very exciting feeling.
He goes.
It was like straight, exactly what my dad says. Like, yeah.
Well, he said, you know, you wake up from a battle and you look around all the dead bodies everywhere and you're not one of them. And it's just a good feeling to kill people. It's a good feeling.
He said it's a feeling I can't even put into words.
I can't put into words. Yeah. But that's what they teach you in the military. You gotta kill or they're going to fucking kill you.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what's interesting about that documentary, by the way, Inside Vietnam is what it's called, is that we were actually winning that war. When we were just allowed to go and kill, which is what we're good at as Americans. And then Johnson left, and then he changed the general, and the general changed it to that whole winning hearts and minds nonsense. And that's how we fucking, that's one of the reasons.
I found the article.
I love it. Okay, yeah, let's hear
Arizona
it.
Senator John McCain refused to apologize yesterday for his use of a racial slur to condemn the North Vietnamese prison guards who tortured and held him captive during the war. I hate the gooks, McCain said yesterday in response to a question from reporters aboard his campaign bus. I will hate them as long as I live.
Yes.
McCain, a former Navy pilot who spent 5 years in a Vietnamese prisoner of war camp, was questioned about the language because of a story last month in The Nation magazine. Since then, McCain's language has been circulating on internet chat sites, many of whom find the term offensive. McCain, appeal to voters, has been a wartime hero and blah, blah, blah. The use of a racist slur can't be acceptable for any national leader, regardless of his background, said Diane Chin, executive director of the San Francisco-based Chinese for Affirmative Action. For someone running for president not to recognize the power is a problem. The word's power is a problem. He's just a straight talker, they're saying.
Well, look, I'm sure.
Here's what he said.
But he says gook. He doesn't refer to all Vietnamese.
No, no. Here's what he says.
He's the guy, the people that fucking held him, right?
I'm going to say it.
I know. I'm so fired up.
He says, I was referring to my prison guards.
Yes.
And I will continue to refer to them in language that might offend some people because of the beating and torture of my friends. McCain made it clear that his anger extends only toward his captors. As a senator, he was one of the leaders post-war effort to normalize U.S. relations with Vietnam. If people understood the context, they wouldn't be upset, says his advisor. The word gook was first used in 1899 by American soldiers fighting Filipino insurgents. During the Korean War, the term was aimed at Koreans and Chinese. It was directed at the Vietnamese when Americans were fighting in Vietnam. It is now used as a slur toward any Asian or Pacific Islander.
Oh, geez, I didn't know that.
Well, one of the things that's funny is that another thing that I got from talking to my dad about this a while ago was he was under the impression that gook stood for gentlemen of other kinds.
Oh, yes, yes. He said that a lot.
Yeah, and he was like, you know, it's just like an acronym for that. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I realized, I looked it up myself, and I realized, well, I found out that he was wrong, but that must have been part of the propaganda of the word.
Of course.
So when, like, back then they told him, you know, gook stands for gentlemen of other kinds, and the people were like, oh, okay.
Oh, I can call them that.
Yeah, that's just what it stands for. It's actually, if you do just the slightest bit of research, you'll find that the word itself actually, the etymology is, it's from a Korean word. So even though they used it, I mean, here it says that early usage of the makmak or gugu applied to the Filipinos by the Marines. And then they also pulled from a Korean word that has a similar, I won't try to mimic it, but a Korean word that has like a derogatory, intention. That was kind of, over time, it kind of turned into gook. But it's definitely not the acronym they think it is.
Well, you know, I'll say anybody that has a problem with John McCain saying that, watch his episode of Locked Up Abroad. And it's him. It's actually him retelling the story of being a POW with this other American man. And it is such a horrific story. I'm not saying that the Vietnamese didn't suffer too. Look, I'm not a fucking complete idiot here. War sucks either way. It's horrifying.
Yeah, but it's horrible.
We tortured the Vietnamese too. But it's very interesting if you're interested in that stuff. Locked Up Abroad, you'll see why he calls them gooks still. Poor John McCain. It's too bad he's so conservative. I would have voted for him.
Yeah, well.
Well, what's this? Is he anti-abortion and he's anti-everything? I don't remember now how long ago he was running. Everybody had a problem because he was so fucking old, right? That was the beef with John McCain. They're afraid he's going to drop dead.
Well, that was one of the things. I don't think that was the main thing. That was kind of like the obvious, easy one that people could say, like, oh, he's old as shit. He's not going to live.
So was Reagan. I mean, fuck.
Yeah, we've had a lot of old people. Okay, hold on. I had to look this up.
Okay.
Folk etymology suggests that during the Korean War, young Korean children would point at U.S. soldiers and shout, Miguk, the Korean word for American or America. Soldiers heard the word as Miguk, as if the children were defining themselves as gooks.
Oh, interesting.
The soldiers proceeded to use the term to refer to the Koreans. The word itself simply means country. This explanation ignores the fact there are many examples of the words that predate the Korean War. So there you go. So it could have been, it could have come from somewhere else, but that's one of the suggested etymologies of it.
You know, I'm so upset because when I went to Afghanistan and I was so desperate to hear the racial slurs that we called the Taliban.
Yeah, that's exciting, right?
Yeah, I wanted to know, tell me the truth. What do you guys really call? And they're so, the PC-ness now, I guess because I'm a...
It's a different world too, yeah.
I'm a, you know, a comic going over there. They don't want to tell me all the dirty, yeah. dirty.
Have you open up like, what up, gooks?
I want to hear that stuff. All I heard, they say tallies.
Mm-hmm.
I know that. These fucking tallies.
You can suck my goat sack, punk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I love all that stuff. It's so fat. And also these guys in Vietnam, if you watch these Marines,
yeah,
man, they're so skinny. They're not like the Marines today. Like these boys, these little boys, didn't even have Kevlar vests.
Yeah,
they didn't have shit.
It's a different time.
They were running through the jungle, skinny as bean poles. With boots and no socks and short sleeve fucking shirts.
It's nuts, I know.
Getting blown up, stepping on mines and not. God, it's really devastating. What a war. What a fucking nightmare.
Totally.
And back then, they showed that stuff on the evening news, by the way. Bodies burned and all that. They would never show that shit today.
Jesus,
they don't. They pretend like we don't even really kill people.
God.
You know? They would never show it.
Well, look, we gotta hit up something else here. The thing is that we gotta look at this. We want you guys to check out one of our sponsors for today, Warby Parker. Do you know about this, Warby Parker? What a cool company this is.
No, I just learned about it, but yeah. It's pretty fucking awesome.
It's pretty rad. What it is it's a company that really hits on a point that it's oddly enough that we out of nowhere talked about before.
Right.
Two
episodes actually, yes, we devoted to the subject.
To this subject, just because, I'll just tell you, I mean, there's a 60 Minutes piece that really did a job on this company, Luxottica, that just really, I mean, just extorts people money. And
robbery.
It's a total monopoly. And it just is infuriating, especially because, I mean, everybody likes glasses in one way. Either you need them to read, or you need them and you want them for sunglasses. Like, because sunglasses are cool. Like, everybody wants a pair of sunglasses that look pretty cool, right?
So, well, and you got those pretty, pretty blue eyes.
Yeah, my eyes.
Sensitive to light.
Are super sensitive to light. I've always liked sunglasses, and I always want, like, pretty, you know, I like getting somewhat stylish ones, but I don't feel like it's cool to pay $300, $400, and $500, and I feel like it's just total abuse by some of these companies
Lunacy.
That do this. So this is what's so cool about Warby Parker. They have glasses starting at $95 that are like real, like designer glasses, super stylish, made of incredible, sturdy, strong material. They have a titanium collection that starts at $145. And this is like top of the line stuff, but they're not robbing you.
Well, and not only just eyeglasses, like sunglasses, prescription lenses starting at $95,
yes,
which is unheard of. I have a pair of reading glasses I bought in 1997 from Lens Crafters. Guess how much I paid in 97 for Lens Crafters prescription glasses?
How much?
$300. That was in the 90s,
that's crazy.
Bro.
That's,
I can't even imagine what Lens Crafters is charging people now.
You don't want to know what they're charging.
Well, I haven't even gotten my fucking eyes checked since the 90s because I'm terrified of how much glasses are going to cost.
Well,
I
now
wear
you
my
can.
Old ones.
Now you can with Warby Parker. Here is, there's so much cool stuff. Before, I know some people are rolling their eyes right now, like, come on, listen to this. These guys do this the easiest way possible. They have a home try-on program that allows you to order 5 pairs of glasses that are shipped directly to you. You can try them on. You can walk around with them. You can show them to people, get feedback. Then you keep them for like 5 days. Then you can send them back for free, okay, using a prepaid returning shipping label with no obligation to purchase. But if you do place your order and you say, I like these, we have a promo code for you that allows you to get them shipped back to you for free. 3-day shipping. The promo code is Your Mom's House. So that is your purchase promo code. Not for the free trial. You get to try the 5 with them for free shipping. Mm. You can send them back and you go, I want whatever one you want, whether it's prescription or sunglasses, put in our promo code, Your Mom's House, and you get free 3-day expedited shipping on those purchased glasses. Here's the other thing that is wildly important to the cynical few out there who are like, whatever, sounds just like glasses. These people at Warby Parker are also, when you purchase a pair, they are giving a pair to someone in need.
Wow, that's huge. I love that. You know, that's why I buy those Tom's shoes, hippie shoes, because it gives a pair to somebody in need. It's so important.
This is a buy a pair,
give a pair for free.
Yep.
You know what's wonderful is if you don't have a pair of glasses, you can't see, you can't work properly, and you can't read, and you can't learn. It's a huge hindrance. So that's a wonderful service. Look, a lot of companies don't have to do anything for people of any value, but that's pretty cool.
They have a lot of good stuff. Go to warbyparker.com.
How do you spell Warby Parker?
It is WARBYPARKER.com. Lot of cool glass, a lot of different styles.
And here's the thing, man. Lens Crafters is lame. I'll tell you.
Yeah, of course.
When I bought my pair of reading glasses in the 90s, I struggled to find one cool pair. This Warby Parker, their website, they have tons of, it's like hip, cool stuff.
It's cool stuff, but the price is, I can justify it.
So you don't.
That makes me not feel like an idiot.
Yeah, it's not, it's for what you're getting. And it's, they don't have those lame glasses like that uncle from The Sopranos, you know, that old guy. That's what you have a lens.
Those are Paul Castellano glasses.
That's what you get at the mall. Okay.
Yeah, you got these, they look make nice on your eyes.
Yeah.
No. So check them out. Go to warbyparker.com. And when you purchase your pair, use our promo code, Your Mom's House, for free 3-day expedited shipping.
That's good.
All right. Thank you, Warby Parker.
Yeah, man. I'm going to check it because right now, here's the glasses we have circulating in our home.
Yeah.
HD Vision that we got from the Rite Aid.
Those are $10 or less than
$10?
$10. Yeah.
HD Vision.
Then I have those ones that you like. Remember, I bothered you like, those actually look good. But those are so cheap that you can, like, I can tell every time I open them.
Might be the last.
Yeah, like it's like the lifeline is kind of falling apart on that.
Well, I buy all my sunglasses at the pharmacy.
Yeah.
Or Forever 21. And then I use them for like a month or two. They scratch and then I toss them. So,
but this is like an investment pair.
Yeah, like, it's like
good.
Nice.
Yeah, nice stuff.
You got to get nice stuff if
you
got to
get nice stuff where you can go, this is nice.
You got to get nice. Can I tell you, I'm so embarrassed that I just finally started watching The Sopranos.
You're better than me because I didn't ever watch it and I still haven't watched it. Yeah.
I think because The Sopranos started when you and I were just getting out of college. Or I was getting out of college.
I was still in college.
Well, I couldn't afford HBO in 1999 or 2000 or whatever.
I don't know what it is with me and never watching a show when it's airing.
I can't either.
Why is that? Why can't we do it?
Because I don't like hearing other people talk about it and then, oh my God, it's so great. It's so great.
I love this show. I mean, you really ought to watch this show. It's really, really good.
Oh my God, seriously?
Yes, that's so good.
Because if you don't start at the beginning when everyone's on the bandwagon, then you're behind the curve.
Yeah.
And then you feel like you never catch up.
Like, I feel like I watched
oh my God.
A while ago an episode of Breaking Bad.
Yeah, it's a good show.
Fantastic. But the urge was not there in me to be like, I can't miss this show.
Right.
And the show just ended and it's all everybody talks about.
And I have no idea.
And I'm sure I'm going to watch it. I'm going to end up watching it in the next 2 years and I'm going to be like, have you guys seen Breaking Bad? It's so good.
I know.
People will be like, yeah, he's kind of a big deal a while ago.
I'm 10 years past The Sopranos. I'm like, this show's amazing, you guys.
The episode that you were watching when I walked in had Meadow, his daughter, graduating from high school.
Yeah.
And it was class of 2000.
Yes.
That's 13 years ago.
I know. And I'm
I don't know why.
Now.
It didn't feel that old to me. Like, I was like, what?
It looks old.
Yeah,
like the
does,
title, huh? The title sequence. You're like, oh, this is so somebody. But fucking I think that, drew that.
That ended when 06, 07?
Yeah, it went for 6 or 7 seasons.
Yeah,
it's a good show, man.
Yeah, because it ended while I was out here. I remember that being out here.
I remember the series finale episode and everybody talking about it.
Huge, yeah, yeah.
And I remember watching the series finale just to see what everyone was talking about.
It sucks that Gandolfini's gone.
I know. I love him
so much.
He's
such a great actor.
You know, he makes me laugh harder than anybody else. His anger is amazing.
But he's also like, I mean, it feels weird to say this because I'm obviously could be way off, but like he seemed like one of the good guys. Like you watch him. I don't just mean like in a movie. I mean like just in interviews.
In
he seemed like a good guy.
He's a family guy.
Yeah. So that's a real bummer, man.
Yeah.
I got to get water.
I want water too. Let's
pause. Okay, let's get some water. Get some water. Get some wine too. You know what I'm saying?
Shit.
You know what I'm saying? I want to get some water.
Man, I'm... You know what I'm saying?
What would you need to pray for?
here, let me see. I just want to see if this came up. I just clicked on one.
I just stopped by to tell you, I love God today, saints. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. That was Auntie Fifi.
And just as we were getting water, somebody tweeted,
God, I love you more than anything. God, I love you more than anything. God, I love you more than anything. God, I love you more than anything.
So, I just want to thank Joseph Strothman. He sent us this tweet that, looks like Auntie Fifi is having a back-to-school prayer.
Whoa.
August 27th at 8 p.m. You can call in. She's having a prayer conference call number. I just retweeted it. So, I don't know. Maybe we should call in and ask for prayers.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a pretty good thing right there.
You're a mindful God.
You're a mindful God. You're a mindful God. By the way, I mistakenly gave the wrong YouTube account one time. We did the show. And I gave you somebody who was reposting or stealing her videos' YouTube address. Auntie Fifi, her YouTube address is actually Auntie Fifi. So it's Auntie, A-U-N-T-Y, F-E-E, F-E-E. So you can watch all of her videos, the Auntie Fifi videos, there.
Fifi is F-E-E-F-E-E.
This might be, yes, F-E-E. This might be an invitation right here to the thing you're talking about. Let's see if it is. I am not sure.
Good evening, Facebook. Coming to you real quickly to ask you, please come out and support the play Stronger Than I Ever Been. It is absolutely going to blow your minds.
Really?
You're going to laugh. You're going to cry.
I think she does local theater.
Oh, she does?
Yeah. That's from her Facebook page. Auntie Fifi,
we missed Mother's Day song. She did a Mother's Day.
Oh.
Good afternoon, Facebook, social media, YouTube.
Hello.
This is a wonderful day.
Hello.
I am so blessed on Mother's Day to have had the opportunity to have two wonderful mothers. My biological mother.
Oh, my gosh.
And because you saw fit that you could not raise me, I thank God that God blessed me to be raised by one of the greatest mothers there ever was in the world.
I like harassing her when she can't hear.
Juice. Happy Mother's Day to you.
All right, sing your song.
I pray that you enjoy your day and that that you realize that every day is Mother's Day in my eyes, because without you, I am nothing.
Oh.
Thank you so much.
That's very sweet.
And to all the other mothers, happy Mother's Day to you as well. I can do a special shout out to Shalonda Hammonds and the t-shirt that she gave me. Check out her t-shirts. Go to her page on Facebook, and all the information there is formed. There.
Will you sing
t-shirts.
Your fucking song?
Mine reads, I know you can't see it, but it reads, bless. Sam's with my friend, and I
just
everything
get to
it was
the
beginning
song,
of
lady.
Everything.
All right, here we go.
Oh, that's a nice buildup.
A B C D, hallelujah. E F G, hallelujah.
The alphabet for real.
H I J.
I can't take her. I cannot take her.
I didn't think she could top. I didn't think she could top her other shit.
I know this is ridiculous.
Sing the alphabet.
Yeah.
I mean, the other shit is.
It's bananas.
It's bananas.
Wait a minute. This is. Everybody.
That's not even her.
That's another crazy fucking lady.
Hello, Facebook. Good afternoon.
Yeah, that's this land is your land.
Yeah, she
and
is.
And then she did the row, row, row
yes.
your boat.
Ooh, hallelujah. Q-R-S-T-U-V. And she would always stop on the V and say, Felicia, your name begins with the V. W-X-Y-N-Z. Now I know my ABCs.
Okay.
This time won't you say it with me? Everybody join in with me, please. A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
You know the words.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
H-I-J-K-L-M-N-O-P-Q-R-S-T-U-V.
Is your name
W-X-Y-N-Z. Now I know my ABCs. Tell me that you're proud of me.
Oh.
Hallelujah. Right. A, B, C, D, God. Hallelujah. Without them, we couldn't read. We couldn't read, God. We couldn't read your word, God. We have to have the ABCs, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Hallelujah.
Green eggs and ham.
Wow.
Amazing. She never disappoints.
You know what I love for Auntie Fifi is that she never runs out of things to be thankful for.
She's one of those, everybody's met one of those religious people who can tie things you didn't think you could tie into God, into God. My mother's one of those people.
Right.
My mother's definitely one of these people.
Right.
And Auntie Fifi is definitely one who you go, ABC, I want to thank God. And you're like, why would you thank God for the ABCs? Oh, without the ABCs, we couldn't read his word. And you're like, oh, my God. Like, why are you always... My mom's like, did you thank God for that? Like, what does God have to do with that?
She's the ABCs?
Like, anything. Like, she just will tie it. Did you thank God for...
Thumbtacks that you used today? I know.
You thank God for the key to the door? I'm like, what?
I don't know. You know what? You got to be... I'm thankful for so many things, too. I'm thankful... Well, number one, I'm thankful for the barbecue we had last night. That was really good.
Really?
I want to thank you for making that. That's like the top. Here's what my list of
what
top
are you most thankful
10
for?
Okay. In my life?
Yes.
All total?
Yeah.
Okay. Definitely number one is the barbecue that we had. The sauce was really good last night.
That's number one in life.
Of all the things in my life that I appreciate and value the most, the barbecue on my table. Second, it's a pair of slippers I'm wearing right now. They vibrate.
Okay.
Got them for Christmas last year. Third is my dog. Sorry. Wait, let's change that. Barbecue number one. Theo, my dog, number two.
Theo's behind the barbecue?
Oh, for now.
Okay.
Three is the slippers. Four, I had a really good sandwich 2 days ago as well in Texas, like a pulled pork one that I'm still thinking about.
Did you have a pulled pork sandwich there?
Yeah, I did. Five is my iPhone because without it, I would never be able to stay on level 65 of Candy Crush.
You're still on 65.
Still, I almost beat it yesterday. Number six, I like my pillows a lot. Seven, I'm thankful for being a platinum medallion on Delta. Number eight, the television that I watch. I like our cable TV a lot. Nine, flowers. Neighbors got some nice flowers. 10. Let me see if I'm remembering. Am I forgetting somebody or something? No, I think that's it, actually. I think
so you're going to drop...
The Pixies. Oh, I love the Pixies.
That's your top 10.
Things I'm thankful for in life altogether.
Anybody else? Like, do you want to thank, like, think about, like, your life?
Oh, my dad. My family. I love my dad. Not so much my mom. My dad's amazing. My cousin Julie.
Yeah.
Your family. I love your family.
What about, like, when you say your family, is there somebody you feel like you're leaving out of your list?
No, that's it. What about you? All done. How about you?
What about me?
What about you?
How come I don't get on the list?
Did I forget you?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's so funny. I thought I said you somewhere have, in between.
You left me after sandwiches and slippers.
My computer. I like my computer a lot, too.
Okay. That's not Where am I on the list?
I made some crepes the other day. Those are pretty good, too. I don't know. You're somewhere in the teens, like 15, 16. Okay.
Here's my list. Okay. Most thankful for. Mm-hmm. Ready?
Mm-hmm. Farts.
Beef. Mm. Number one.
Well, you and I have a lot in common. I said barbecue. That's interesting.
Yeah. Pork. Number two.
Yeah.
Halibut.
Oh, I love halibut.
Salmon.
Oh, yeah.
Tuna.
It's too fishy.
Shellfish, shrimps, lobster, crab.
Okay.
Bison, because I've been experimenting with that meat a little bit.
Gamey.
Ostrich meat.
Yeah.
Venison.
I could live without venison.
My black shoes that I got.
Which ones?
The Nike black ones.
Those are super cool.
My gray ones that I wear sometimes. Mm-hmm. The blue ones. Mm-hmm. I like those. All the shirts that I got recently. I got like a bunch of shirts.
Oh, those are fun. Yeah. They've got like bands on them and stuff. Yeah. Jokes.
Yeah. I got like 5 of those shirts.
Yeah.
And then I'm most thankful for the wallet that I got. I got a wallet yesterday. I got a new wallet. I'm trying to downsize wallets.
It's neat.
So I got a smaller wallet.
What about the dog? You didn't even mention the dog. It's like you don't even care about your son.
Yeah, no, I finished my list.
Oh, wait. 10 different meats and then 5 or 7 different fishes.
Yeah.
Shoes, shirts, a wallet.
Okay, and then Theo.
Wow.
Theo's in there too. No, I'll put Theo in the top 5. I would put him after beef, but I would put him like before bison and stuff.
Wow. What about, are you forgetting anything or anyone on your list?
My iPad, I forgot. My iPhone. I have a MacBook. I have this mixer. And I got another mixer that's not hooked up yet. And then I have an external hard drive that I like.
Yeah.
So I'm thankful for
that. I forgot
the
laundry machine.
I love the washer
time,
and dryer.
Yeah, every time I use that, I seriously do say a little prayer, like, thank you, God, that we can have a washer and dryer.
Having a washer and dryer is huge.
I do, and I'm still, we're still paying it off on the Sears card, but I love that,
huge.
Man. That seriously is a game changer for
huge,
us.
Huge.
Dishwasher, huge. So many things to be thankful for.
Yeah, sure is. Well, that's it. That's my list.
Yeah, me too. Interesting. Oh, the remote control. It's nice when you find that.
Yeah.
You farted?
No, I didn't fart.
I saw you push. You made your push face.
No, I was just thinking.
Make sure to save it for the fan.
I'll save it for the fan for you. For the fan so that I can lean into the fan and just give you a... give you a... yeah, so those are the things I'm most thankful for.
Poor FIFO.
But you're in the top 30.
30?
35 to 40, probably. The second half of the 30s. Here's a cool audio clip we were sent of this guy who shoots porn.
Yeah.
And these aren't porn clips, so don't worry. You don't have to really drop your volume. Sometimes people are like, could you give a porn warning, like a brown warning? So this is
what was that? Sound like a fart.
No. This is I guess crack whores who were like a lot of times when they shoot these gonzo style pornos, they with the camera, they sit there and they interview the person and then they shoot.
Yeah. I hate that.
But these are real down and out broken women.
Oh, you mean that? Wait a minute. You mean to tell me that most of the women in porn aren't together?
No, this does not represent most people in porn.
Okay.
This is real streetwalkers.
Okay.
People who are like, these are people who are doing the scene for $50.
And is that the theme of this porn? Like real streetwalkers?
Well, I think so. I don't know the real theme of the whole. I just got the interview segment.
Oh, okay.
So here's like.
One time this guy picked me up and lit my nipples on fire and singed all my hair down there on fire. Oh. That was what got me to start shaving it.
Huh.
So she started shaving because a guy lit her nipples and her pubic hair on fire.
Sounds a little like your sister's. No, the voice, not the behavior. Didn't she sound a little like
tell them. I can't wait.
One time this guy picked me up and
a little bit.
Lit my nipples on fire and singed all my hair down there on fire.
Oh. Wow.
That sucks. That's not very nice.
I don't want that. I just want the topping part.
See?
Like you put whipped cream on as a topper.
Yeah.
That's what got me to start shaving it.
I don't really have a dog story. I'm not in.
Yet.
Not yet.
So she's saying, I don't have a dog story. I'm not into it yet. And he goes, yet.
Oh. I don't think I will be.
For the right money?
Maybe, yeah, for the right money. Yeah.
A dog?
A dog. She would fuck a dog for the right
money. It has to be
money.
Good money.
Hey, you got any cash?
You got any cash? He is kind of cute, though.
Oh, no. You know what's funny is that the only time girls, or anytime anybody laughs at unfunny shit is when they're really high on drugs.
Yeah.
Like, that's the best. Like, oh. Yeah. I'm nervous.
I would not fuck a dog. Unless it was for the right money. Yeah, it has to be a lot of money, like over $100.
Yeah.
She would fuck that dog for $100.
Oh, she's on crack?
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
For sure.
Here we go.
I went into one of those places, man. I was like, what the fuck is this shit? Mm. You can't touch a girl.
Yeah.
You can't talk to her. But you got money.
Phone, like jail. Anyway.
So this guy, the guy who's interviewing her is saying that she's telling a story about when she worked in one of those like glass booths where the guy pays to basically watch you alone in a booth and he can jerk off. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he's like, yeah, I went one of those places. She's like, yeah, here's what happened to me.
I was sitting in front of my booth and this guy comes and says, have you had a customer yet? I was like, no. He's like, well, when you get a customer, don't have the guy clean the booth. And I was like, all right. I didn't think anything of it.
You follow?
Don't have the guy.
A guy came in and said, have you had a customer yet?
Right.
She said, no. He goes, well, when you do have a customer, don't have the cleanup guy clean
the
booth.
I want the jizz in there.
So I sat there for a little bit. Then somebody finally came in my booth. He did his business and he came all over the window. So finally the other guy comes and he runs. He's like, did you just have a customer? I was like, yeah. He was like, well, did the guy clean the booth yet? I was like, no, not yet. So he's like, okay, good. I want to show you something. I was like, all right. So I didn't think anything of it. So he closes the door, comes in, tips me, whatever. And as soon as he starts jerking off, he's like, I want you to see something. He starts licking the other old cum that was already on there. He goes,
no
way. He starts licking the glass clean. He literally cleaned the glass.
Oh, that's pretty foul.
It's tough.
That's tough.
That's a lot.
And that's not the crack whore. That's a guy who would jerk off to the crack. You realize that? It's not
even
the whore.
Right. It's not even like.
That's a dude
pays
a whore.
It's not somebody whose job it is to lick up cum.
Mm-mm.
It's just his thing. Like, I want to lick up someone else's
public
cum.
Stranger cum.
Yeah.
Not like. And it's public and it's stranger.
And it's in one of those filthy booths. Where, like, their idea of cleanup isn't really that sterile. So it's layers and layers of cum that you're licking,
essentially. It's pretty gross. It's definitely not sanitary to lick that guy's cum off the glass.
No.
On the.
What is that? That's a fetish. That's definitely somebody's thing.
Yeah, it's kind of cuckoldy, I think, right?
It's a shame thing.
Well, the cuckolds, like, you know, like to see the bigger dick guy.
Right. They like the girl, humiliation.
And then like they're like, I'll lick your box before and after he does his thing.
All right. So he's like, watch me jerk off, but watch me do this. Aren't I a bad boy?
Yeah,
aren't I naughty? Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow, man.
Before,
and he ate his cum, yeah.
I really don't know if I'm wife material, you know, because I don't really trust anybody.
She doesn't think she's wife material, she's saying.
Yeah.
You know, I take care of myself. I'm really healthy. And I'm a step up than the average person. Like, you know.
You're trying to say you're brilliant?
I have ideas.
Huh. Uh-oh.
Brilliant, yes. A sharp image with my mind thinking, yes. I would have to agree with you on that, yeah.
All right. So. Then we got that squared away.
Mm-hmm.
You ready to show me how you suck cotton?
Yeah.
How about ideas like don't smoke crack and do porn?
Don't do porn.
How about
what were you saying about your brother? Your brother's in jail for murder?
Stevie?
Yes, he was a serial killer.
He's a serial
18 women he's been tried on.
Your brother killed 18 women?
Yeah.
He's a serial killer?
Mm-hmm.
No shit.
Okay, whatever. America's Most Wanted, and then America's Most Wanted captured. Other than that, I'm not going to say anything. He killed them.
When they were dead? Are you
saying? I mean, they were still warm.
Oh, man. Wow. He's fucked up, man.
Of course, I'm bisexual.
Do our listeners know that I used to work for America's Most Wanted?
I don't think so. Have you talked about that?
I don't know. I feel like it's come up at some point.
I'm sure.
That was my, for those of you that don't know, I interned there when I was a junior in college. And then that was one of my first jobs out of college.
Crazy.
My first day of work, not on the internship, but when they were actually paying me when I was working there. My first day was September 10th, 2001.
Mm.
So the next day...
Bad things happen.
Yeah, it's kind of a downer. I mean, just for everybody, but especially like if you work in like a show where it's like crimes, you know, and you're it's like they were basically like, we're going to do terrorism now forever.
Right.
And we were like, okay.
Change of format, guys.
Yeah, it was... so depressing, Jesus.
Of course. That's the saddest show. That's not on anymore, right?
I don't know if it's... I really don't keep up. I don't know.
Dude, that show can go forever.
There's never a time where that show has to end.
Yeah, that and Cops. Like, those are two evergreen shows.
And my job on the show was to research stories,
mm-hmm.
pitch them as ideas for episodes. So they'd be like, you know, we need to do... I don't know, child predators, right?
More
so,
child rape, Tom.
Yes.
And then you had to look up the rapists. And
well, it had to be fugitives.
Oh, God.
So it had to be somebody that done something. And I did. One time I pitched these two guys, and they had escaped. I guess a big hotbed for that stuff is actually the Caribbean. People always think of like Thailand, but if you go to like Costa Rica, Honduras, a lot of child predators will go there because it's super poor. And you can like make a lot happen with a little bit of money. These guys were arrested, charged with all these sex crimes, and then just like skipped, like, you know, made bail or whatever.
Now, how do you find these guys? Is there some database?
Yeah, I don't even remember. But then like I did tons of research on one guy. I pitched his story and they were like, yes. And then they sent me to Costa Rica. And I did the story with a couple other people. I'm on an episode.
Oh, my God.
Like, walking through this place and being, like, the Spanish translator. And they used me for, like, their reenactment kind of thing.
Were you stoked because it was, like, your first showbiz thing? You're like,
kind of. I thought it was a big deal because here's the truth. I pitched the story to the editor when I was working for them. And then I decided I didn't want to work for them anymore. I had a 3-month contract expired. I had a chance to sign for like a 6-month one after that. And I was like, I don't want to do this. I moved to LA. And when I moved here, I had like no job, nothing. I got the call. We're going to do the Costa Rica piece that you pitched. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And they're like, so we'll send you down there. So I actually got to LA and got a paid gig.
Perfect.
In like show business.
Perfect.
Where they sent me down there. But it was the most depressing trip I've ever taken in my life. Horrible. Now, let's get to something funny.
Sexual, so I'm happy in jail, too. There's plenty of beautiful women there.
Yeah, I had one guy want a fucking pop bottle shoved up his ass.
Did you do it?
Yeah, I did.
What did he pay you to stick a Coke bottle up his ass?
$80.
No shit.
Now,
did he have lube and shit?
No.
You shoved it up there dry?
Fuck yeah, I did. And he's smoking crack while he's doing it, all right? But then he gets up and he geeks and he'll go in the bathroom and he'll get the tube of toothpaste and just rub toothpaste all over his hands. And I like everybody to have a good time around me.
Whoa. What's with the toothpaste?
He just liked, that was part of one of his weird, I mean, he liked the Coke bottle up his ass.
Uh-huh.
And then he liked to put toothpaste on his hands.
Oh, I thought they used the toothpaste as a lubricant.
No, he just liked to play with it.
Yeah, how bad would that sting to put toothpaste on your butthole? Ooh, it's fresh.
And have somebody go, just blowing that butthole.
Then you take a flat razor blade from the urethra back to the base of your body, split it down like a little hot dog.
Then you're talking about splitting the penis open.
I know, I can't.
But the other side, so now you have twins. What, you just have two of them.
You cut the fuck out of somebody's cock?
Yes.
What the fuck, man?
I can show you.
What, you got pictures of it?
He's the sickest person I've ever did. You just asked me, what is the wildest thing I ever did?
And like he came to you and said, hey, cut my fucking cock to ribbons and shit?
Yeah.
What the fuck, man?
It still rises up. It still goes down. He cannot fuck a girl in the twat and in the ass at the same time.
Oh.
Ay, Maron. See what drugs do to you.
Yeah.
You know, I that whole DARE program we had growing up, did you have that in Florida?
Yeah.
Drug abuse resistance
DARE
education?
For me, I didn't. DARE we had younger. I had DARE when I was, they give it to you like in fourth or fifth grade. I think I was in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like that program really failed in that. They only taught
that
you things.
That program is bullshit.
It was bullshit. It was like, this is what cocaine is. This is a Quaalude.
They should show this video.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. Listen, drugs in and of themselves, you can do them recreationally and be completely okay. It's this shit.
Yeah.
Don't fuck with crack. Don't fuck with heroin.
They should just show, they should get together
and
the
meth.
Worst
don't do meth
intervention episodes and just show them.
Yeah.
They should start playing them for kids when they're too young to handle
yes.
it. Like maybe first grade or
take
kindergarten.
Take their eyes open, Clockwork
yeah.
Orange,
watch
and
it,
watch them all.
And just watch them cry as
yep.
they watch the video.
Yep.
And then every year they get another video yep. like that until like
a week.
Yeah.
It's like year. Shark Week, but it's drug week for the kids. Tape their eyes open.
Yep.
And you got to watch this chick talk about splitting some guy's cock and putting bottles up
and
dude's
then just
asses.
Every kid's like, oh.
Well, do you want to do drugs or not?
Yep. That's definitely what they should do.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, we got to run. This was a lot of fun.
That was a good closer.
I like that closer.
Say no to drugs. Because they should tell you that.
Oh, this is one last
you
thing.
You can do drugs.
I got to tell this real quick.
Yeah?
If anybody doesn't follow us on Twitter, they obviously should, at Tom Segura, at Christina P. But I tweeted out that I'm pretty certain I'm getting it together. I'm starting a football podcast.
Oh.
And I'm going to try to put to do the episode, try to finish it sometime this week, the first episode, and get it up next week. I put out a call for logos. If you want to give it a shot, give me your logo. You got to get it to me quick. So the show is called Charge It to the Game. Charge It to the Game with Tom Segura. It's a strictly football podcast, just talking football.
No jeans.
No jeans.
Allowed.
No jeans allowed. It's I'm going to do call-ins. I'm going to do guests in studio. I'm going to talk college and NFL. It's just football. So anyways, I need the logo to put up. Like, we have our logo for the show. I need that for the new football podcast. Charge It to the Game with Tom Segura. If you want it, your logo used, just send it to me, but I got to get it quickly. So
when did football start already?
We're in preseason right now, so the regular season starts in like a week or so.
Oh, pre-cum season.
Yeah, it's pre-cum, exactly. That's all. Anything else, Jeans?
No, I'm sorry about Scottsdale this week, you guys.
You'll move it. You'll give them a weekend.
I will. I just hate I hate having to move stuff around. And
yeah,
it
sucks.
I just know, Jeans, that it's with a heavy heart.
Heavy, heavy heart, my little
Jeans. Don't like to do that.
But you'll make it up to them, and we'll see you out there. Thanks again, Texas, for a great, great weekend.
So super.
We're so excited to do the podcast live more. We're working on our next cities, so we'll see some one of you somewhere soon. All right?
Meow.
Bye, Jeans.
Love you.
I have a song for you I'd like to do that, I'd like to go to the bar.
Plug in my iPod and listen to him talk trash on that.
He's talking about your mom's house.
Podcast, stop that. Laughing ain't gonna happen to fix for a piss poor day. This gay discourse of mixed sorts. Get the pitchforks and listen while you bell. Hey, you're in jail, laying with your Puerto Rican cellmate. Or when you tailgate, listen before the game starts. Play cards, listen while you're shoplifting at Kmart. Honest, I mean it, it's not a big secret. I'm often seated in the kitchen listening to Tom and Christina at the end of a rough day. Get a mug and drink, get my nuts shaved. If I'm lucky, get a dental update.
Oh, yeah.
Just great, like the devil loves flames. Like the devil loves heavy metal women who love snakes. This is just a thing to help your nerves and calm down.
How you like me now, bitch?
Welcome to your mom's house. Welcome to your mom's house.
Got the kitchen, man. Got the kitchen, man. Got the fresh.
Welcome to your mom's house.
Something for them fiends. Something for them fiends. Fresh.
Welcome to your mom's house.
Got the kitchen, man. Got the kitchen, man. Got the fresh.
Welcome to your mom's house. Your mom's house. Starring Christina Pruschitsky and Tom Segura. Special appearance by Top Dog.
It actually happened in the Orlando airport once.
And Joe Double.
Is there anything worse on the planet than an aspiring white rapper?
Yeah. Your mom's house. Your mom's house.
Something for them fiends, fresh.